Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I just imagine Garrett Hampson walking into the clubhouse with a giant clock around his neck like, yeah, boy! Welcome back to Royals Weekly. I am your host, Marcus Mead, and joining me as always, a man who likes his cartoon camels like he likes his women, smoking a cigarette, my brother Mike.
Boy, don't you miss the days, huh? The days when we directly marketed our cigarettes right to children. That's what we why aren't we still doing this? The cigarette industry needs this. Kids, get out there. Get yourself a pack of long darts. Remember the candy ones? Do they still sell those? They can't still sell
candy cigarettes.
I doubt
it, because that's got to be wrong. That's wrong. That's
Big League Chew's the only thing holding on.
No, Mike is not encouraging.
The only thing holding on.
Any children to smoke, don't smoke. It's bad for you. Yeah. Drugs are bad too. Stay away from those. Alcohol, also bad. They're all bad. Everything is bad for you.
Here's what I always tell my students.
Just eat vegetables.
Yeah, I always tell my students, I have never met a person who chose to start smoking in their teens that didn't then want to quit at some point in their 20s. Like, you know, that's always
true.
The case.
That is absolutely true. Anyway, on this week's episode, we'll review a crazy week of spring training action. And when I say crazy, I don't mean crazy for the Royals. I mean, it was crazy for us because we were driving all over Arizona, the Phoenix area, trying to get to games and see prospects and do all this other crap. And so, it was a crazy week for us, but the Royals was relatively tame. We'll also award some superlatives to players that we got a live look at during spring training this week. And then we'll preview the next week of Cactus League action, which is really kind of the last week of Cactus League action. We're going to come out on Saturday morning. We're recording on Friday, March 15th. So there'll be this weekend and then one more full week of spring of Cactus League action, and then it's over, right? And then we got a few days to go before opening day and one scrimmage between the Northwest Arkansas Naturals and the Royals. That's it. Then we have opening day. With all this stuff going on, with all the content we're creating here at Royals Weekly during this spring training, it is super duper important that you go subscribe to the Royals Weekly Substack, royalsweekly.substack.com. Mike's been putting out daily reports from camp. They've been great as we sort of see specific things from specific players. He's got a great one coming out tomorrow because we saw some interesting stuff from Gavin Cross and Blake Mitchell today. We saw some just interesting stuff from different prospects. And so go give that a subscribe and you can pick up all that awesome content that we're picking out or that we're putting out. We're also putting out our midweek episode for Substack subscribers as well. So make sure you're subscribed to that and following us on all the social medias to get that stuff. I also want to remind you that Royals Weekly is brought to you by Eric Oxer of West USA Realty. Phoenix has all of our favorite things, year-round golf, year-round baseball, which we're watching right now, and Eric Oxer of West USA Realty, who's standing right next to Mike, I'm sure, or very close. Whether you want to buy your dream retirement home or just stay a while and catch spring training, Eric can help you find the perfect house for you. We've known him for 30 years and trust him far more than we even trust each other.
Mark won't leave his wallet anywhere near me because he knows I got a taste for the pie gal.
Yeah, he's going to take all that to the casino that's about 200 yards from us right now and start playing pie gal.
You could hit with a golf ball.
You could easily hit that casino with a golf ball. Eric does long-term rentals for the snowbird crowd and home sales and purchases for those who want to stay a while longer. Are you a baseball parent or player who needs a place in the Phoenix area? Give Eric a call. He'll find you the perfect spot fast. You want to spend your day shanking golf balls into the great beyond? Eric knows the golf scene like Mike knows how to say, please don't kneecap me in Mandarin. Find Eric online at ericoxer.com. I like that one now. I like that joke. I wasn't sure when I wrote
That's
it.
That's good.
Find Eric online at ericoxer.com. If you can figure out how to spell his name, it's ericaxier.com. Or just shoot him a text. That's way easier. 480-383-9745. That's 480-383-9745. Even if you're just curious about what he can do for you, he's 100% no pressure. One of the best people we know.
And he knows more about canine lupus than anyone should. RIP.
We have so little roster news this week. We start the review with roster news. We only have one tidbit. There's nothing to really talk about, but we're going to talk about the one little tidbit that came out today, and that is that the Royals received. I'm gonna butcher this name.
I was waiting for you to say this name. I'm just waiting for it.
The Royals received Nathaniel Garabitos. I think that was close.
That was
as the player to be named later in the Samad Taylor trade. If you remember, Samad Taylor was traded to make room on the 40-man for Adam Frazier, and the Royals got a player to be named later back from Seattle. This is the player to be named later. He's a 23-year-old right-handed reliever. He's the highest he's pitched is high A or low A, which he pitched in last year. Mike, now that we know what the Royals essentially got, 1 year of Adam Frazier and Garabitos for Samad Taylor, what are your thoughts on the return for Taylor?
Well, it's bad process, okay, because you're giving up a player that you have essentially, I think, 5 more years of control because he played in Major League Baseball last year. So you have 5 more years of Samad Taylor for basically 1 year of Adam Frazier. But you have to also think of it as also getting 6 years of Nathaniel Garabitos, okay? Now, the one positive thing I've seen is Garabitos throws hard, very, very hard. He throws 100 miles per hour for his fastball. But you don't ever want to see a guy at 23 in low A. And so I don't know that Garabitos ever makes it to Major League Baseball. Then you essentially got 1 year of Adam Frazier for 5 years of Samad Taylor. I don't think it really matters all that much because I'm not as big of a Samad Taylor guy as you are. I thought absolute ceiling is fourth outfielder. And I just don't know if I trust him to consistently hit the ball hard enough to stay in Major League Baseball. So I'm not that worried about it. You got your flamethrower, try and give him some breaking pitches and teach him to throw strikes and see if someday by some miracle he makes it to Major League Baseball.
Right. That will determine the success or failure of this trade really is whether or not Garabitos ever makes it to Major League Baseball. If he does, successful trade. If he doesn't, the odds of it being a successful trade are not good because Samad Taylor will at the very least provide some value for some team at the major league level because he's so close to it. He's so ready to sort of become a major leaguer. I don't like it because it's bad process. I didn't like it when they did it, but I was holding some back to be like, oh, okay, if they get a decent player in this player to be named later, then maybe it's better than I think. It was not any better than I think. If anything, it might have been worse than I thought because, you know, a 23-year-old relief prospect, he's a relief only, no chance he's going to be a starter. 23-year-old relief prospect in low A is nothing, and he didn't even have that much success in low A. It's not like he was destroying low A, and that was his repeat. He was repeating low A last year, okay? And so, you know, there's not, I mean, people are like, well, he throws 100. Yeah, okay, great, he throws 100, right? Like, if he threw 100 and it mattered all that much, he would not be in low A, right? You see what I'm saying? You know, like, he would already be moving up the ladder there. So hopefully they can get something out of Garabitos, but I don't know.
From the numbers, he throws a very hittable 100 is what it looks like. So,
yeah. 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 And so, you know, all I think is I'm like a calculating machine. That is what I am. Okay. And so what I see is 5 years of Samad Taylor for 1 year of Adam Frazier and the very, very, very long shot chance that Garabitos ever makes it to the major leagues. In my mind, that's not a great value trade, but it's over. They got Frazier. They're going to see what happens. I'm going to continue to follow Samad Taylor's career to see if he ever ends up amounting to anything, even a usable bench player. But, you know, that's what we have now. But I will say, in my mind, it's bad process. And that's the thing that gets me riled, if anything. You know, we watched the Royals have bad process for many, many years under Dayton Moore. And it led to a ton of losing. So don't tell me, oh, it doesn't matter because Samad Taylor's not that good anyway. No, it matters because the process is bad, right? You're right. Samad Taylor, in the grand scheme of things, does not matter that much, but it matters if the process is bad.
Yeah, one thing I will say that you also have to factor in here is if you then take Adam Frazier, well, I guess that maybe is kind of separate because this was not a trade for Adam Frazier. The only way Adam Frazier equates into this is that he was moved to create a spot for Adam Frazier. But if you then trade Adam Frazier, you know, halfway through the season because he's performing, you might take the Samad Taylor trade a little bit better, especially if Samad never becomes a permanent major league fixture. But yeah, I agree. It's a little concerning process wise, but they could have just straight up released Samad. That was the other option, right? Straight up release somebody.
Well, no, the other option was if don't sign Adam Frazier. That was an option.
Yeah, don't sign Adam Frazier.
Because you have a better version of him.
They were going to do that either
way. Cheaper in Samad Taylor, right? And so don't sign Adam Frazier, right? And, you know, well, or if you want...
Well, better version is debatable. It's really debatable because Adam Frazier has several years of success in Major League Baseball. Samad Taylor doesn't have a week of success in Major League Baseball, so...
That's true. It is debatable, and I get that. But, like, 6-1, half dozen of the other we're talking about here. I mean... What are we talking about value-wise in terms of the difference between Adam Frazier and Samad Taylor this year? Honestly,
I don't know. It's really a really big toss-up because you don't feel like Adam Frazier is the player he was in Pittsburgh. I know that.
That's the thing. If it's a toss-up, why are you doing this? Is my thing. If it's a toss-up, why are you doing this? Right. And so that's all I'll say to it. We'll move on because I know people don't want me to continue on with this discussion. But off the field or on the field this week, the Royals went 2-3, which brings their overall Cactus League record to 13-8. That puts them third in the Cactus League. The Royals have been hot and cold sort of this week. Actually, that perfectly describes both the way they played on the field and what it felt like being in the stands. Because it was like warm and lovely most days. And then today it was a train wreck out there.
Freezing.
It was cold. It was windy. It was raining. It was rough. Your boys stayed out there and still just like weathered the storm to keep watching this stuff and provide as much insights as we can. But man, it was not pleasant out there today. We saw some struggles from the starters early in the week, but mostly some solid offensive performances from the guys who matter anyway. Mike, how do you feel about how the team looked this week?
I feel pretty good because I was waiting on some of those offensive pieces to show what they can do going into the season. We're going to need an offense. I think last year we were like, hey, top 15 offense. Let's get a top 15 offense. I think this is going to be an offense somewhere between maybe 10 and 15, maybe a little better than just 15 or 14. I think they might be somewhere in that 10 to 12 range would be fantastic. And we started to see some of that this week with contributions from guys like Vinny Pasquantino and MJ Melendez. We'll talk about some of these things a little bit more later, but the pitching struggles didn't affect me quite as much because we saw Waka be very good. I still feel like Cole Reagans is just his arm's starting to wear down or he's getting that dead arm period over with and he'll be back to what he was. Alec Marsh was still pretty good this week. Was supposed to start today, the other game in the split squad, but didn't get a chance because he got rained out. So there was some things to hang on to pitching wise this week, but I'm not as worried as maybe some other people are.
Yeah, I'm not as worried about the pitching. I wish it had been a little bit better, but it's not uncommon for pitchers to have that sort of, we remarked throughout the week at how many pitchers looked like their velocity was not reaching what they threw last year and that sort of thing. And that was Zerpa. That was Brady Singer. That was Will Smith. That was Chris Stratton. There were a couple different times in which that was the case.
Yeah.
But I'm not too terribly worried about that just because this happens to guys in spring training as they're sort of pushing the limits of where they can pitch at that moment. So, you know, you go out, you pitch two innings, one outing. Well, you just pitched one the time before. So you're always sort of building yourself up. Well, that can lead to some periods where your arm is just tired, right? And you're not capable of sort of producing the levels of velocity you normally are. So I'm not that worried about it. I do wish the pitching had been like lights out while we were here because that's always fun to see. But, you know, it wasn't. And so we'll move on from that. But, you know, overall, I think I was pretty happy with how they looked this week. Mike, speaking of people who performed well this week, who was your strong performer for our week in spring training?
Let's not get complacent, people. Let's appreciate greatness when we see it. Bobby Witt Jr. was absolutely fantastic this week, as we would expect him to be. He was 7 for 16. He had a double. He had a home run. He had 3 RBIs. He had 0 strikeouts. Now, 0 walks as well, but 0 strikeouts for a full week is pretty damn good for Bobby, for anybody, but for Bobby Witt Jr. especially. You know, he's a terror on the base paths. He didn't get a steal this week, but just being out there, I think one of his hits was an infield hit. I think he legged out an infield hit. So Bobby Witt Jr., the real deal. He made some great defensive plays too. A really good one yesterday at Salt River Field on a backhand. I think he got Corbin Carroll, if I'm not mistaken. Got a really speedy runner out at first. And so, yeah, he was as advertised this week, and I'm super pumped. Buy your Bobby Witt Jr. MVP bet ticket right now.
He also had he stopped a ball today that's probably going 110 off the bat. I mean, it was just,
oh my God,
smoked at him today. And there were a couple guys, who was that playing first? Squires stopped a ball that was, hit so freaking hard at him. I was like, oh my God, that would have killed him if he didn't stop it with his glove. Like, just really hard. The second baseman for Cleveland got like knocked over by a ground ball hit at him. It was hit so damn hard. There's some great infield defense today at that Cleveland-Kansas City game. My strong performer for the week is Vinny Pasquantino, and I chose him over some other guys who were also having strong weeks offensively because it snuck up on me. I didn't realize that Vinny was this good. I mean, we went to a lot of the games this week. We saw him be good in some games, but I didn't realize he was this good offensively. He went 5-for-12 with 2 doubles and a home run, 0 walks, but only 2 strikeouts. It's nice to see Vinny kind of getting into a groove down here because it was a little slow to start spring training. He's coming back off injury and all that stuff. It's good to see him starting to get into that groove right when he needs to be getting into that groove as we move into the regular season. He is, outside of Bobby Witt Jr., probably the most important offensive weapon for them, and they really, really need him to be healthy all year and productive for them. And so it was great to see him feeling better at the plate and looking better at the plate. So, not everybody was looking great at the plate and feeling great at the plate. Mike, who are your weak performer for this week?
I went with Michael Massey because I'm still a little bit worried about Michael Massey. You know, early in the spring when he was hot and he was knocking the ball all over the place, we weren't able to see games. And so I was just like, hey, what I really want to see isn't if he's getting hits or anything like that. Yes, you'd rather him get hits versus not. But I wanted to see how many pitches is he swinging at? How many pitches is he seeing per plate appearance? Those types of things. This week, we saw some decent plate appearance early in the week, but today he did not look very good at the plate. He was only 1-for-7. He had 0 walks and 2 strikeouts. The lone hit was a single. We need Michael Massey to not be streaky Michael Massey. We need him to be a more consistent offensive performer to lift up the bottom of that lineup. And this week, it did not look like he could be that guy. This does not mean that he can't be. It doesn't mean he hasn't taken a step forward. It just means that, at least for this week, the production wasn't there. And at least for today, the plate appearances weren't what I would call what we want to see, I guess.
Yeah, today it looked like he didn't want to be out there in the cold and the wind and the rain.
Which I understand.
I understand that. There are other guys who look like this too. I understand that. And he swang a lot early in counts. He had a lot of ground balls that weren't really useful. And so hopefully that's just a periodic thing for him or a today thing. And he gets over it and can be what we need him to be to start the year. My weak performer for this year was a relief pitcher, Nick Anderson, who the Royals traded for in the offseason. A guy who I think a lot of people pegged as this guy's going to be in the bullpen because he's been a productive major leaguer for a long time, but he has not played well throughout spring training and really wasn't good this last week. He went 3 innings pitched, gave up six hits, 4 earned runs, 1 walk, and only 2 strikeouts. We saw him in there today, and it was like a hit parade against him.
He got killed.
And so, you know, I don't know. I think Anderson's still going to be in the bullpen. I don't think that's going to be a thing. But I think he's, you know, he's a guy who maybe they're looking at and saying, well, Nick, maybe we're not going to consider you our 8th inning guy right away. You're going to maybe earn that 8th inning spot or something like that. Because, you know, I haven't seen anything where I'm like, oh, I feel really, really safe having Nick Anderson go in there right now. Mike, after all we've seen this week in surprise, or not surprise necessarily, the greater Phoenix area, what sort of theme did you come up with for this week?
So I'm taking my theme for this week from probably yours and my favorite musical artist right now, Jason Isbell, who I consider to be the greatest songwriter in the United States right now. In one of his songs, he has a line that just always sticks with me when I hear it. It's what's the difference in a breakdown and a breakthrough? Okay. That's what I'm thinking about this team, right? What's going to be the difference between them breaking down completely like they did last year or breaking through and becoming a team that you feel like can be competitive at least deep into the season, maybe not playoffs, but at least can be competitive in the Central deep into the season. And I think the difference is probably pitching, but I don't know, you know, obviously it's always health will always be a part of that. But I think if you had to say, okay, what's going to be the difference? I'm going to say effectiveness of guys like Seth Lugo, Jordan Lyles, Brady Singer, Alec Marsh, when he inevitably gets opportunities to start games, you know, all those guys, maybe Daniel Lynch, if he ever gets an opportunity to start games this year, that's going to be the difference between a breakdown of this team early in May or a breakthrough in contending for the Central.
Yeah, that makes total sense to me. And it's interesting because my theme this week focuses on how difficult it is for us to see what that thing is. So my theme this week is from a legendary movie that Mike and I loved as kids and continue to love to this day. Have you ever seen the film The Blues Brothers? One of the sort of refrains in that movie is we're putting the band back together as they go around and try and recruit these band members to join the band again. They keep saying we're putting the band back together. And I thought about this because I was thinking about how I don't have a really good handle on what this team will look like moving into the regular season because we haven't seen them operate as one team throughout the entirety of spring training. They're really operating as two teams, both made up of half major leaguers and half minor leaguers. We have yet to see what looks like their starting lineup and starting pitcher and their bullpen that is actually going to be, we have yet to see that in action in spring training. And until we do, I feel like I have a tough sense of getting a handle on this team because I'm like, well, yeah, it looks like this when your bottom three hitters are guys who are never going to play in Major League Baseball this year, right? Like, or when your second or third guy out of the bullpen is a guy who hasn't pitched past Double A, you know, like that sort of thing is really tough to evaluate. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm actually really looking forward to what might happen this week as we maybe get to see entire lineups. Perhaps we're putting the band back together. Royals Weekly is brought to you by All In Physical Therapy. For one-on-one personalized physical therapy, we choose All In Physical Therapy. They took excellent care of our mother after surgery left her with pain and limited mobility in her arm. She loves to work out, be active.
Originally, they wanted her to play the Predator in the hit movie The Predator, but producers said she made Arnold look too feeble and weak, like a little weakling from Austria.
Yeah. The excellent specialized care she got at All In Physical Therapy had her being back to active in no time.
And you know Arnold's ego. He couldn't handle that. You know, he can't hang on a screen with her. Come on.
No gravitas. All In Physical Therapy knows how to help athletes recover. It's owned and operated by Lee Summit's own Tommy Frevert, a former Arena League football player, Northwestern Missouri State Bearcat, and a hell of a guy. They have offices in both Blue Springs and Lee Summit, so get over there to work with Tommy. Tell your doctor you want to do your physical therapy with the best of the best at All In Physical Therapy. To learn more, give them a call at 816-427-5300. That's 816-427-5300. Or visit their website at allin-pt.com. That's allin-pt.com. We've spent the last 7 days driving all around the greater Phoenix area to get you all the insight we can provide on the Royals heading into the 2024 season. So for this week's Spotlight segment, we're going to provide some superlatives for the players we've seen in person here in Arizona. We'll kick it off with our position player MVPs. Mike, who's been your position player MVP down here in Arizona?
I'm going to go with Mervis. I believe is his actual first name.
I think it's Mervil.
Yeah. Old Mervil. I'm going Mervil.
In the words, to paraphrase Jason Isbell, what's the difference in a Mervis and a Mervil? You know what I'm saying?
That's a fantastic one. Yeah. So old Merv, we'll call him MJ Melendez. I am going with MJ Melendez. This team's so desperate. You and I said this before spring training ever started. This team so desperately needs him to be an offensive force in their lineup. And this week, he looked like an offensive force in their lineup. And he really has all of spring training. And he did at the tail end of last year as well. We need him to be something. And just based on what we've seen so far this week and in this spring, I think MJ Melendez deserves, as the kids would say, his flowers. And let's make Merv, you know, a solid part of this lineup.
Yeah, we got a chance to see him out in the outfield finally. We finally get some action in the outfield. What was it, yesterday? We went out to Talking Stick, Salt River Fields.
Salt River and Fields.
Yeah, we went out there and we got to see him get some chances in the outfield. And, you know, the limited look that we got, it looked a little bit better than it has in the past. We saw him track one down in the gap that was really good. We saw him track one well to the wall. It was really not the back wall, but the side wall. The third baseline wall. It was tough to catch because one, he was playing quite a bit off the line. And so he had a long way to go. And then it's always tough because the wall itself is only like 3 feet high or something like that. So he had to like navigate potentially flying over the wall into the seats and trying to catch the ball. And most importantly, trying not to get hurt in a spring training game. And so, you know, I think he looks a little bit better tracking balls out there. And so that's going to be an important part of his progress, I think, in 2024. I'm choosing another guy. I feel like when we talked about Melendez needing to be an offensive force for this team, we talked about another guy too, and that was usually Mikel Garcia. And I'm choosing him as my MVP since we've been down here. And that's mostly because he went back-to-back days where he hit home runs down here in spring training. You know, if you follow me on Twitter or anything like that, I'm big into talking about how Mikel Garcia needs to loft the ball. I've also posted on it about on Substack about it and how that will take his game to the next level. I'm hoping we're seeing that level emerging right now. It's not going to be a straight linear thing. He's not all of a sudden going to start lofting the ball like Aaron Judge or something like that, but it looks like he might be able to generate a little bit more power as we move into 2024, and that will really do wonders for his game and for the Royals lineup as a whole. Okay. So, you know, Garcia always looks good in the field. Garcia's always looks good around the bases. It's that power production that really hopefully is going to send him to the next level. And hopefully this Royals team move them up a level. What about your pitcher MVP, Mike? Yeah, we've noted that the pitching wasn't great while we were down here. Who'd you find for an MVP pitcher?
I went with Michael Wacha because he gave the best starting performance that we've seen since we've been down here. The changeup was devastating. The fastball, his fastball was actually in a place that it normally is, which was great. He looked really good. Now, maybe some of his breaking pitches weren't located exactly where he wanted to, but the day that we saw him, which was yesterday, his changeup was so devastating that it was getting him out of any little bit of trouble he was getting in. I think he gave up two, maybe three hard hit balls in the 3 2/3 inning that he pitched. He had 4 strikeouts. He against a mostly major league lineup, and he made some guys look just flat out silly. And so that's the steady force that you need in the rotation that was the least steady I've ever seen last year. Well, maybe not ever. I've been a Royals fan for a long time. But yeah, it was
Jose Lima raises his hand.
Yeah, he raises a hand. Mark Redman raises his hand. Yeah. But no, it was really good to see Michael Wacha. He's my pitching MVP in a group that didn't look great while we were down here.
I'm going to go with Walter Pennington because we only got to see him once, but there was an important thing to his outing that I really wanted to think about and talk about. And that is Pennington pitched earlier in spring training and was just dominant. He came out and just laid waste to a couple of hitters down here. I think he went 2 or 3 outings where he was just striking everybody out. And so that was really cool to see. But anytime I'm looking at a young pitcher and how they might handle a transition to Major League Baseball, I actually want to see them in a start where their stuff isn't dominant. I want to see them in a start where they're not lights out. And that's what we saw from Pennington. He came in and his velocity was down a tick. His stuff didn't look as sharp as a result. And so he gave up a hit or two, but he found a way to generate a ground ball here, a ground ball there, and get out of the inning without giving up any runs. And that's where I'm like, yes, that is what we need from a bullpen arm. This is why I'm like, Walter Pennington is my dark horse candidate. It's not because he can go out and strike out the side every time. It's because when he can't strike out the side, there are other options that can help him prevent runs. And so if Pennington can stay poised, he didn't walk a ton of guys or anything like that. If he can stay poised, generate ground balls when he needs to, he should be fine in terms of limiting the damage as he transitions to the major leagues.
Real quick on that, I feel like the same thing could be said about Sam Long on Monday. When we were in surprise on Monday, now he ended up giving up a run, but he really was able to limit that damage and get out of it when he wasn't striking everyone out. And so that was good to see from him as well. Right now I'm seeing Pennington and Long, both left-handers, both have some strikeout ability, one or maybe two spots in the bullpen available, both non-roster invitees. We'll kind of see how that shakes out if they end up in Omaha or if they end up as free agents or if they end up on the 26 man. But I think it's good that both those guys have really shown something this spring.
Pennington won't be a free agent because, you know, why would he be? But yeah. You know, he's from within the organization. He's not on like a minor league contract. He's, you know, within the
organization. I thought he was a non-roster. I didn't think he was an org guy. I thought he was like a minor league free agent we picked up or something.
Oh no, he's an org guy.
I didn't know that.
And so, yeah. Nick Superlative, biggest surprise. Mike, who has surprised you the most while we've been down here?
James MacArthur. And I actually told Kevin O'Brien, Royals Report Kev, this today on Twitter, because he put out what I assume is a really good piece. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, on James MacArthur and his ability to possibly be the Royals closer again this year. James MacArthur, I think it was that game at Surprise on Monday that we went to as well, came in for Brady Singer. Yeah, I think it was, or no, that was at HoHoCam, wasn't it, on Sunday?
Yeah, I think it was HoHoCam.
Against Oakland. James MacArthur came in when Singer could not get out of the second, I think. And not only did he get out of that second inning, he then dominated in that third inning. He was so good. His stuff looked fantastic. And I was not the biggest believer in James MacArthur at the end of last year. I was very much I'm not sure he's going to have the strikeout ability that you want in a dominant reliever. But man, after watching his stuff this time, the cutter looks real to me. You know, the fastball looks, you know, maybe not the best fastball, but the breaking stuff is also for real. And so, yeah, I'm now a James MacArthur fan, and I'm not embarrassed to say it, damn it.
Well, really going out on a limb there, Mike. You're a James, going on a limb for James MacArthur. You're way out there. Hey. My biggest surprise of the week that we've been down here is actually Nelson Velasquez. And it's not because I didn't think he could be good or anything. I think probably a bigger believer in Velasquez than a lot of people. The thing that surprised me about Velasquez is watching how well he works counts down here. Down here today, we saw him work back from down in the count to 3-2 counts twice. One time he drew a walk. The next time he hit a hard hit ball to third that got caught. It was like a line drive kind of. It got caught. But to watch him, and we've watched him like draw walks and work counts in other games that we saw too while we were here. I am impressed with how the quality of plate appearances I'm seeing from Nelson Velasquez. I know the results aren't there. I know that like he hasn't been able to loft the ball consistently yet, but he's in a good place in terms of him taking plate appearances. And I think it's just a matter of time before that starts translating to the quality of contact and the quality of, you know, outcomes that he's getting. And so I'm not worried at all about Nelson Velasquez. I'm really happy with the plate appearances he's taken. That was a pleasant surprise for me. Mike and I have gotten a chance to look at quite a few prospects down here, either as they sub into games or on the backfields and things like that. Mike, who is the best prospect you've seen down here? And by that, I just mean the one that impressed you the most.
Eric Sarantola by far impressed me the most. Now, we saw a lot of guys on the backfields and saw some really good things from Trevor Werner, saw some really good things from Carson Rocafort. But Eric Sarantola in a game was throwing upper 90s, touching 99 at times with a devastating slider, struck out two guys in the inning that he pitched yesterday at Salt River Fields. And I had heard about Eric Sarantola, but I had never, I've read things about him, but I'd never seen him pitch live. He's a real deal when it comes to a relief prospect. I'm now a Eric Sarantola stan, I guess, because wow, that was really impressive to see. You know, he was facing the kind of the end of the lineup guys. He was facing guys that are probably going to be in the minors, but most of those guys are guys that are going to be in AAA, and Eric Sarantola has not made it to AAA yet. And so it'll be really cool to watch what he does this year. I'm excited to see the year for Eric Sarantola.
Yeah, Sarantola, a guy who's had a lot of promise. I think it was a wise move for them to move him to the bullpen. That was sort of what looked like his spot anyway, with the good fastball and breaking ball, but not really a third pitch, and some trouble with throwing strikes and things like that. So hopefully he can give the Royals some depth in the AAA bullpen this year, as it looks like that might be where he's ticketed for to start 2024. I'm talking about Blake Mitchell as my impressive prospect while we've been down here. Now, like Mike said, we did see a bunch of impressive guys. We liked what we were seeing stuff from, but what I really came down here to see was a few things, right? And one of them was, what does Blake Mitchell look like hitting the ball? And I came away very impressed from watching Blake Mitchell in the cage. Watching the power that he has, it's real power. Watching his ability to make contact despite some mechanics that maybe wouldn't help with contact. He's clearly got the hand-eye coordination. He's clearly got the power in his bat. My question will be about what's his approach look like. After watching him in today's game, he got a chance to play against a guy who's going to be in Major League Baseball for the Guardians today, and he looked overmatched, frankly. He looked like a little bit like Nick Prado, like he doesn't understand that he needs to be more aggressive at the plate. And so he got struck out at least three. I think he struck out
three
all
times.
Three times. He went
0 for 3 with three strikeouts. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, he just needs to, he was clearly overmatched, but he's 19 years old, you know, like, and so he'll go down to low A. Hopefully one of the things they're talking about him with is what he needs to be doing in certain counts. He clearly hasn't learned that at the upper levels of baseball, when you get into an 0-2 count, or when you get two strikes on you and you're down big, you hurt yourself. You're almost always going to lose those situations. And so if you're getting a good enough pitch 1-1, swing at it. If you're getting a good enough pitch 0-1, swing at it. You know, like he's got that bat hanging on his shoulder just too much right now. And so I want to see what it looks like if he gets a little bit more aggressive at the plate. But all the stuff I saw down here when he was facing guys of his own skill level and advanced level, he looked good. And so very happy to see that Blake Mitchell looks like he might be a pretty solid prospect for the Royals. We do have to talk a little, we can't all be sunshine and rainbows. We can't, we got to talk a little bit about what disappointed us down here. Mike, what was your biggest disappointment being down here in spring training?
It's gotta be Michael Massey, because he'd shown some promise here at the beginning of spring training. But since these are for the week that we were here, I have to say Michael Massey didn't look all that great. Some of the plate appearances were really good earlier in the week, but later in this week, we haven't seen a whole lot from him as far as working counts, getting no walks, obviously this week. And didn't see him see a lot of pitches. And that's kind of what you want to see from a Michael Massey, because last year he just swung a lot. He was just swinging all over the place. A lot of pitches that were in the shadow, as we call it, or outside the zone. And so for Michael Massey to take a step forward, I feel like he has to see more pitches, swing a little bit less, let the walk become a part of his game, so that he can maximize his one true asset as a hitter at second base, which is the fact that he has the power to put the ball out. He's never going to maximize that unless he starts doing those things. I'm hoping to see a step forward next week and as we get into the season, and I think the Royals are going to give him every opportunity to start the season as the starting second baseman. So that first month or two is going to be extremely important for Michael Massey, and I hope it works out, because damn, he's going to be a quality player if he makes that improvement.
Yeah, Massey with a ton of potential as a second baseman, because his glove is really good and because he has that power potential. You know, if he could just find a way to make sure he's not striking out too much, not swinging at pitches he really shouldn't swing at, then I think there's a lot of potential in him. And you'd love it if they could come up with a 3-WAR, 4-WAR everyday second baseman, because the history of second baseman here since Frank White has just not been very good, honestly. And so
is that Carlos Fabla slander? Is that Carlos Fabla slander I'm hearing? I don't think so. Not in this house, sir.
No. Okay. My little bit of a disappointment is another guy who plays a lot of second base or sub second base. That's Garrett Hampson. We came down here, weren't expecting much, and those expectations were met.
He's still disappointed.
And yeah, somehow he's still disappointed. It's just, you know, watching him hit is rough, man. He is bad at it. Like, he takes bad plate appearances. He does not hit the ball hard. He doesn't look like he has the ability to hit the ball hard. And so, like Nicky Lopez and a bunch of other different types of guys, Adam Frazier and stuff like that, he's going to rely solely on launch angle. But unlike Adam Frazier, it doesn't look like he has the ability to consistently produce that launch angle ever. And so, you know, he's also, we watched him play short once and it was, you know, he played a good center field. We've seen him make some good plays in center field. But, you know, some of the stuff on the infield hasn't been great. You and I have had more than one conversation since we've been here about like what his purpose is on this roster. It seems really hard in comparison to guys like Nick Lofton and, you know, even Adam Frazier. You know, like it becomes the question, or Drew Waters, you know, like why, you know, I look at Garrett Hampson and all I think is why?
Yeah. Quick thing here for a player like Garrett Hampson, a role player, right? You want to be able to clearly define their role. Let's juxtapose them with Dairon Blanco. At any point last year, did you feel like you didn't understand the role that Dairon Blanco was playing? I knew exactly the role that he was playing. Steal bases late in games, get down important bunts at the end of games, play defense at the end of games, and then you know, on a day off kind of thing, maybe get a hit or two there, but play excellent defense and provide speed on the base paths. I know his exact role. I have no idea what Garrett Hampson's role would be on this team. Is it, and you and I were talking about this at Salt River Fields yesterday at Talking Stick. Okay, he's going to be your fourth outfielder so you can, because he can play center. Well, can he play center all that better than Drew Waters? I mean, maybe a little bit, but not better than Dairon Blanco, right? Can he play short? Not very well. Can he play second better than Adam Frazier? Not hitting-wise. He's not going to provide more offensively. So what role does Garrett Hampson fit in? Is he the hype guy? Is he the funniest guy in the clubhouse? What's the deal here? You know, is he the best poker player? I don't get it. I just don't see the role for him on this team.
I just imagine Garrett Hampson walking into the clubhouse with a giant clock around his neck, like, yeah, boy. You know, like,
yeah, boy, I'm here to hype you up.
I'm here to hype you up. Yeah, so I've been a little disappointed there. Royals Weekly is brought to you by Knapp Family Wealth. Mike, can you think of anything more important than securing your financial future?
Bridget Jones Diary cosplay.
No.
You are so dead inside. Why can't you love?
Securing your financial future is one of the most important steps someone can take for themselves and their family, and Knapp Family Wealth is ready to help you pursue it. This isn't some big, faceless corporation we're talking about here. Knapp Family Wealth is run by J.C. Knapp. He's a huge baseball fan. He's been helping people plan for their financial futures for 20 years. He can help you with retirement planning so you don't have to work until you're dead, education planning so your kids learn to read good, investment management so you get all that money from out of your mattress and get it working for you. Don't spend another day thinking you've got it all figured out, because trust me, you don't. Check out Knapp Family Wealth at knappfamilywealth.com. That's K-N-A-P-P familywealth.com. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA/SIPC.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We are less than 2 weeks away from opening day. The Royals only have 1 week of full spring training games left. This is coming out on Saturday, March 15th, this episode. So I'm just going to give you the rest of the Cactus League games, so I don't have to just be like, oh, well, two games and then another five games or whatever. You know, the Royals will play the Cubs, Brewers, Giants, Angels, White Sox, Guardians, Brewers again, and Rangers to cap off the Cactus League action by the end of next week. Then they'll have a scrimmage against their own AA affiliate, the Northwest Arkansas Naturals, before opening day on March 28th. Mike, we're down to it here, okay? What do you want to see from the Royals as the Cactus League wraps?
I want to see the pitchers get on track, and I want to see them stay on track. I want to see those roles starting to be solidified in the bullpen. I think we have a pretty good idea what's going to happen in the starting rotation outside of that fifth spot. We haven't heard anything on Lyles and his health and how he looks throwing. But I feel like specifically Alec Marsh, I feel like has separated himself in that conversation. Possibly Angel Zerpa, some of those other guys, Veneziano, Bolin, they're gone now. So I think we know who will be filling that spot if Lyles can't go. But I want to see those guys get on track, get those velocities back up for the guys who have dipped, and be ready to go. Because you and I have talked about the hellacious first 8 weeks of the season, and if that pitching is not ready to go day one, we could end up in a situation like we were in last year, and like we've seen way too many times when the Royals are in a hole at the end of May that they can't climb out of.
Yeah, that would be awful. And that, you're right, it is all about the pitching. And you know, Waka looks like he's doing pretty well. I haven't seen what's his name?
We haven't seen much of Lugo either.
Well, he pitched in a B game a few days ago, but we don't get to see those. And so, or at least we could have seen them if had we been in surprise, but we'd had to stay on the backfields. But yeah, so we haven't seen Lugo pitch while we've been here. Some of the other guys, you're right, their velocity is starting to dip, and you wonder, is that going to come back, you know, or whatever. But yeah, it needs to be the starting pitching to keep us out of that. But I want to see the starting lineup play. I want to see 1 through 9. The starting lineup. I want to see what it's going to be on opening day. I want to see them play a few times, right? Because I can't really tell what it's going to look like until they're all next to each other. Okay. And so that's really all I care about seeing as we sort of wrap up the first thing here, other than the starting pitching and all that. Mike, who needs to do what to make you feel better about them making the opening day roster?
I feel like Sam Long needs to continue showing the ability to strike guys out. And then I think that gives him the edge to make kind of that final bullpen spot. I think Zerpa probably gets in. I think Carlos Hernandez is going to be down for a while, it looks like. I mean, we haven't really heard much about him either. But I think Sam Long has a chance to make this bullpen if he can continue to show the ability to strike guys out. And like we mentioned earlier, limit damage in the times when you don't have your best things. But Sam Long is my guy for that I believe has the inside track to make it into this bullpen. Keep doing what you're doing, Sam Long.
Yeah, Sam Long. I think my two front runners in terms of those last few bullpen spots, Sam Long, Luis Sessa, are two of them that I'm like, okay, those two are battling it out. Zerpa, maybe something like that, if he's not already in there. But Long and Sessa, I don't think Pennington's going to make it, despite the fact that he's pitched really well. I think he's going to AAA. But Sam Long and Luis Sessa, I think, are the two left. Altuvia hasn't pitched, in my mind, well enough to make it. But yeah, we'll see on that. I'm looking for Drew Waters. I think he needs to strike out less, make more contact. That's all I'm really thinking about because we haven't heard on Dairon Blanco yet. We haven't heard about his injury. And so that might change the calculus for who gets kept, how many outfielders is Waters going to make the major league roster. If he is, he needs to make more contact. Mike, you just brought up the fifth starter spot a second ago. At this point, who do you think gets the fifth spot in the rotation?
So I thought it was Zerpa. I really did think it was Zerpa, but they gave Marsh the chance to start that game today. Now, the game got rained out, so we didn't get to see how Marsh was doing, but I think that's an indication that they like Marsh as the essentially the sixth guy. So when Lyles goes down or if Lyles can't go, I think it's going to be Alec Marsh that gets that spot. He has performed a little bit better in this spring. He's limited the home run, still had probably a couple too many walks, but the stuff is legit. The velocity on the fastball was up to like 97 or, you know, he was really pumping it in there when we saw him in surprise the first time we went. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting to see, but I think it's going to be Alec Marsh.
Yeah. To be different, I put Zerpa down here because I think those are the two leading candidates. Although Lynch pitched well the other day and they seem to have a thing about Lynch, but we'll see on that. But I think if you and I were making this decision, it would come down to Alec Marsh or Angel Zerpa. And I think both of them would make the team. Maybe one of them would just operate as a starter. The other would be a bulk reliever. And yes, it might be Alec Marsh and then Zerpa's a bulk reliever because Zerpa's had success in that role previously, though Marsh did as well. And so those two guys are pretty interchangeable, despite the fact that they are, you couldn't find two different pitchers. Like, they are completely opposite in terms of who they are as pitchers and their profiles and everything. But oddly, they're both kind of in that same spot, you know, like, and so, you know, it might be Marsh and Zerpa, one in the rotation, one in the bullpen. If Lyles can't make it, that's, I think, our preference. But there is a Lynch sort of sitting out there in the wings who might also make a play for that fifth starter role.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We'll end this week's episode like we end every episode with our Just a Bit Outside segment. We've been having a crazy week. This is where we talk about what's interesting to us outside of baseball over the last week. It's been a crazy week for us running all over the Phoenix area. Mike, in that time, what has stuck out to you as something interesting you want to talk about for your Just a Bit Outside?
Well, I got to talk about the one day that we did not do baseball-related things. You and I and our good friend Eric Oxer of West USA Realty and his wonderful father, Rod, went out to play golf at a place called Dobson Ranch. This is not an advertisement for them because they don't pay us or anything. But I just got to say, it was really cool. It was now their whole catch is that is like a less formal setting for golf. And so they encourage you to like listen to music while you play. They have speakers right there on the carts. You can Bluetooth it up, play music. We were playing the Royals game for a little while on there because we're sick or something. I don't know. But we were playing music. You know, it's very more like a fun time. Imagine like the atmosphere of a putt-putt place, but it's real golf. And the course was pretty nice and in good shape. And why isn't all municipal golf should be that way? Let's get rid of the stuffiness and the formalness of golf, make it accessible to more people, make it more fun, because that's what it's supposed to be. Don't come at me with this, hey, why aren't you wearing a collared shirt? Because nobody ever had fun playing golf without a collared shirt on. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, come on. I'm there to have a good time. And this place understands that. Okay. And on their driving range, they got like, you know, the, what do you call them?
It's like Top Golf, basically. Like their driving range, yeah, it's like a Top Golf. Like Top Golf.
They've got the Rapsodo machines, as
or whatever,
right? In baseball.
Like, yeah.
To track the the TrackMan. There we go. The TrackMan technology stuff that kind of shows you all that sort of shit. And they're playing music on the driving range. I mean, when we left, it was dark when we were leaving. The driving range was like a nightclub.
Yeah.
I mean, it was bumping. People are having fun. There's a bar right there. They're playing bags outside the bar. I mean, this was not like a place. This wasn't your country club. This wasn't Bushwood. No. Okay.
Bars got pool tables inside of it,
too. More places need to do it that way.
Wonderful.
Yeah. 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 It was a great place.
And here's the thing.
Yeah.
We got
more like that other places.
We got there. It was packed. We left. It was packed. That's what that results of that sort of model are, right? People want to go. They want to have fun. And they're not all golfers, to be honest with you. There are a lot of people at that driving range who do not play golf, but they're there to have fun. And that's what you should be interested in. And maybe someday they'll discover, hey, I like swinging this club around. Maybe I'll try just playing golf too, right? Like, I feel like golf needs to be in the mindset that we need to be attracting as many people as we possibly can to this. So yeah, that's wonderful. I'm talking about something that is interesting to me. Mike always joshes with me. By the way, thank you, Mike, for not bringing up the fact that a foul ball was hit at me today while we were watching the game. I was in the stands. So Mike and I are sitting in the stands, right? And there's not anyone within 20 or 50 feet of us, like, and in either direction, in any direction. And Bobby Witt Jr. fouls the ball into the stands, and it's coming directly for me, right? The problem was I didn't see that it was coming directly for me because I had momentarily taken my eyes off the action to close the umbrella that I had in my hand because it was raining and it had stopped raining. And I had another thing in my other hand. So when I look up, when Mike says something in the ball, I look up to see the ball coming at me. It was already past the netting and like about to hit me. And so instead of like trying to like throw the stuff down and catch it, I just kind of like get out of the way of it, and it lands and I pick it up or whatever. And Mike just keeps reaming me all day, like, you coward, you should have tried to catch it or something like that.
He had a chance to catch this ball.
I didn't, because I saw it with like a second remaining. But anyway, thank you for not bringing that up. I brought it up myself to preempt you.
Way to go.
That's not what I'm talking about, as my just a bit outside. What I'm talking about is what I really, really admire in people, and that is a willingness to take a chance and make a change, right? So Mike and I have a good friend who we're staying with down here. Mike's brought him up already. He is somebody who I greatly admire, in part because he is willing to take chances and make a change in his life when he wants it to be different. And so Mike and I often talk about, like, related to baseball, like, hey, if something's not working, change it, you know, like, and so we've talked about that with Brady Singer and many other people. But it's also an important element in people's lives. And I understand that taking a chance and making a change can be difficult and it can be scary and it can be all those sorts of things. But I greatly admire the people who do it. I greatly admire our friend Eric, who has done it. I think it's really, really important for people to understand that even if you take a chance and it doesn't work out exactly the way you thought it would, you can always find a way to make it work out in some way, right? Like, you can always find a way to roll with the changes, to sort of, but the act of taking the chance and making the change will make you feel better about yourself. It will make you feel like you had the courage to do that thing. It will make you feel more capable. And so anytime somebody's willing to do that sort of thing, I greatly admire them. I give them a little golf clap. I say good job. And so I just want to throw out there that I am greatly appreciative and admiring of people who are willing to do that. It makes me more willing to do that sort of thing. To seeing other people do that makes me more willing to do that. So my friend Oxer's done this thing. It's inspired me to do this other thing. And so thank you to him. Thank you for housing us while we're here. Thank you to him for being an inspiration in that way. And thank you to all of you for listening to this podcast.
This is really just a test to see if he's listening all the way to the end of episodes.
Yes. So no big deal. Yes. But really, we want to say thank you so much for following all of our spring training content. The response has been great to Mike's daily recaps and our daily episodes and things like that. We really, really appreciate it. If you haven't listened to those, go ahead and go back and listen to them and that sort of thing. We love coming down here. We love providing this content for you. We will be back not this Monday, because this is coming out on Saturday. We'll be on the road Saturday and Sunday, so we won't have time to record. But we'll be back with our midweek episode on Thursday for our Substack subscribers. And then we'll come out with our regular weekly episode the Monday after that. Okay? Until then, be good to each other.
And go Royals. We'll be right back.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.